יאלו לב טוב, עין טובה, מחשבה טובה והרבה הרבה שמחה. הרבה 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 שמחה. התכוננת על מקומו ועוד מעט ואין רשע.
All right, everybody, shalom and welcome to the Yishai Fleisher Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. The reason I got so excited about saying from Judea is because I just landed a few hours ago. I had some serious lag, and I crashed in bed, brought all the stuff in, did all the stuff. I did that part of the trip, which is, I look forward to it, which is I got out of the airport, said hi to some people, I don't know, and then finally got to my car. I like to park at the airport. And I made it home, and when I talk about home, it's my house here in beautiful Judea, and also my beloved wife, Malka. Shalom.
Hello, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How was your trip?
It was a great trip. It was a great trip. It's my second trip to Florida in just a few months. Florida is now kind of a hub of the American diaspora.
What? What about New York?
It feels less hubby to me. It feels like the hub has moved.
You feel like a hubby to me.
Yeah, I'm your hubby. But you know, the diaspora, one of its characteristic traits is that it's not anchored and things move. Mm. Things move more, I think. And right now, the Shechina, shall we say, the center of energy of the diaspora, I think, has moved to Miami. Of course, when the center of energy, there's many ways to think about it in terms of money, in terms of politics, in terms of power. Another one is Torah, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of good Torah in Miami, mm-hmm. But it's not like
it's not going down like it is in Brooklyn.
No. That's not what I meant to say at all. I meant to say it's not the center of Torah that is Israel.
Like, no.
You can't compare that anymore.
Well, who's comparing Miami to Israel? Well, I thought you were comparing New York to Miami.
You were comparing New York to Miami.
Yes.
I'm saying to you that there's a shift away from New York for various reasons. COVID was a big part of it. The politics are a big part of it. There's a few reasons why New York is kind of less strong right now. Then it's moving kind of towards Miami. A lot of people moving there. Weather, just more of a like a hub. It's great to be able to fly in there because El Al flies direct. In any case, I had a fine time. Really, a lot of good people, and I learned a lot of things. I was at a very fancy wedding. I was wearing a bow tie and I was wearing a bow tie.
You look good. You put that up on social media, right?
Yeah, I put that up, and I must say that my buddy Alex came up with a line that I'm going to keep with me for the rest of my life. He said, "You look like 007 meets 770." Right? I thought that was one of the best lines ever. I'm like, if I want to be anything in this world, it's 007 meets 770. You know, that's just right. That's like, put me right there. I got a tux and the whole thing. And it was really fun. It was really fun. I went to actually three parties. I was at a wedding.
Wedding, by the way, somebody, you put that picture up on Twitter, and one of our friends on Twitter was like, "That's one heck of a Malava Malka you went to."
That's right. That's right.
I thought that was really
quite
funny.
The Malava Malka. And I went to a fancy wedding, and then I went, and it was really fun. I went also to a cowboy party, which was done by a friend of mine to honor all the first responders in South Florida. And
that's
so
nice.
It was like a cowboy party with the craziest fireworks you ever seen.
What?
You never seen
what
such
do you mean?
Fireworks.
Really? Because I've been to Epcot.
This was Epcotic.
Wow.
Yeah, this was epic Epcotic. That's what
cool.
It was like. And it was just, but it was like closer to you. It wasn't on some island. It was like right there, like shot. I was shooting. And then I went to a party that combined three aspects, which was a birthday party. A friend of mine became a commissioner in Aventura.
Uh-huh.
And also a midterms party. It was a combined party for three things. It was very nice. It was a great party. I met all kinds of really nice people. Everybody's asking me about Israel. What is the politics of Israel?
Yeah.
How can I get my kid to Israel?
Right.
What can I get a job for my kid in Israel? Where can I buy in Israel? Everybody
that's
wants
nice.
To know. It's like when you come out there, you become like an agent
that's,
of Israel.
That's what you're doing, no?
Exactly. Then there was the midterms themselves. My comment on the midterms is thus. I personally don't care if people are Republican or Democrat ostensibly, except that today the Democratic Party is much more anti-Israel, while the Republican Party is generally, not totally, more Israel. Mm-hmm. pro-Israel. And I myself, if I would, and my friend Rabbi Yehuda Cohen is always talking about how you cannot compare Western categories to Israel categories. And I kind of agree with him, but also kind of disagree, because I think there are certain themes that we, you know, there are right. certain overlaps. But in any case, one thing is for sure. The most important thing that I saw, and I don't have the exact figures anymore, but there was a tweet and I retweeted it, which is that the young people, had it not been for young people, it would have been a red wave.
Right.
But it's the young people that voted Democrat.
Now, that is not good news.
Well, let me analyze it before we get to the category of good and bad, because I don't like to opine about other people's politics so much, just like I don't like it so much they opine about my stuff. But I would say that I learned a lesson, which is the universities, the social media, they've got the young people. And therefore, they're teaching the young people don't have experience in money, and therefore, they're not sure that the economy's worse now. They have never faced the bad guys. They don't understand what they are. And the professors and the media and the social media have got them squarely under their wing and are teaching them their stuff.
But isn't there like an old saying, like way before wokeism, isn't there like an old saying that goes something like, if you aren't a liberal or a Democrat in your youth, then you have
no heart.
And if you're not a Republican in your older age, you have no brain.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
So isn't there something kind of natural about that?
Yeah, there is. There is.
Or not natural, maybe just like predictable about that.
I think so. I think you're right. But on the other hand, remember that. And for me, here's my takeaway lesson, my personal takeaway lesson. My personal takeaway lesson is work with the youth.
Right.
And I told Yocheved, who is, you know, partially schedules my trips mm-hmm. outside the land of Israel, I told her that while I'm, whatever trip I take to America, I want to do an event for young people.
I like that idea so much.
And so I spoke with ZOA. They're like, yes, anytime you're anywhere here, just tell us, we'll set up an event.
They have kids?
Yes, ZOA has got campus. Yes, yes. My friend Sharon is in charge of that. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then two is Club Z.
Club Z is very cool.
Very cool. And
we
three,
still have one of their beach towels.
And there's Chabad youth also. There's a Chabad youth movement. So I'm like, one of those movements should set up an event for me on campus. And when you're in my space, like these days, because I'm also dealing with fundraising and that kind of stuff, then I'm trending up, like older. I'm dealing with older people. But I got to remember.
Right.
That was my takeaway, which is remember to deal with
donors, you're always like, you know, with fundraising, you're always trying to look for people who can help with funding, and it's typically not the young people, but you really have to remember, of course, that the mission is with the young people.
Right?
Yeah, the mission, and you can't leave them behind. You can't leave these kids behind.
Certainly not, because then you're going to lose them.
Right, you're going to lose them. That's horrible.
Especially with the aggressive nature of efforts to besmirch our beloved Jewish state.
Right.
But anyway, Miami was great. There's great kosher food there, great people there. And how should I say? I want to say, first thing, it's got two things. It's an interesting hub because it's also, as my mom told me a long time ago, it's the capital of South America. And there's just a lot of Spanish everywhere, including Spanish-speaking Jews, Cuban Jews.
That's awesome.
And you know, and Brazilian Jews and I think Brazilian speaks Portuguese though, but
yes.
Whatever, the South America doesn't matter. South America, there's like a feeling there of South America, and Central America and all that stuff, but it's there. So that's one. But the other thing is, it is close to Israel.
What does that mean?
Because it's like has a Spanish feel to it. Like a therefore it's culturally.
Oh, you think it has like Mediterranean vibes?
Yeah, it's like culturally close to Israel. There's a lot of Israelis. And also I really like, can I tell you,
there are a lot of Israelis.
I wanna salute El Al. And in general aviation. I wanna salute it because it's just like
we salute you, aviation.
I do, you know, and I just think I think I one time calculated that there's like 10 flights out of New York area to Israel a day.
Wow.
And there's at least, I think, two a day towards Miami. And I'm just saying, just get on that plane. Get on that plane. And that's what I'm preaching out there. Get on that plane. Buy that Israeli wine. They have every Israeli wine possible, including Chevron wines.
Wow.
At Sarah's Tent in Aventura.
Ah, yeah. That's great. Yeah, great what a place. Great name.
You know, and it's just like, get that wine. Get on that plane. Buy that apartment. You know, be part of it.
If I had a wine store in America, I think I'd call it Kiddush.
Ooh.
Do you like that?
Pretty good.
Kiddush.
Yeah, Kiddush. Like Skadoosh.
Yeah.
Like, what did they say in that movie?
Yeah, you said it.
Skadoosh?
Yeah, you got it.
Kiddush. It's the Jewish way to do it. What can I tell you, Malka? You know, and I, you know, I have my good friend Josh Wander is out there right now doing what he calls end of the exile tour. He's doing a speaking tour, and he's really telling people about coming home to the land of Israel. And he also has a message that there's danger out there.
Right.
And yes, Jews are back to ghetto.
Are they?
What does that mean?
What does that look like?
What it looks like is go to the places that are safe and hang out there.
What do you mean? In Florida was like that?
I just see that Jews are congregating around themselves and are basically like, okay.
Do you think that's new? Don't Jews always congregate around themselves?
No, it's not new, but it's pronounced. When anti-Semitism rears its head.
Mm-hmm. Is there anti-Semitism going on in Florida? Or maybe they're just feeling what the vibe
there
of the United States.
There is a vibe. And definitely the black community thing with this whole... Kanye West and Candace Owens.
Kyrie or Kiri.
Yeah, and all the stuff. Like, people are like, wait a minute. The first thing I want to say that there's an, you know, this anti-Semitism that's underneath it, it really comes from first thing, a huge heaping spoonful of ingratitude towards the Jewish people who basically created, like, what's the idea? Oh, you're keeping us down. You're like a slave owner. You're like, you know, you control everything and you know, you take a cut out of our success. No, bro, it's exactly the opposite. It's not that the Jews are taking a cut out of
right,
your
they
success.
They give you a platform for success.
Right. They created that platform for your success. You would be not doing as well as you'd be doing, not even close, if it wasn't for the creation of these platforms, like you said. Now, I don't like sports, professional sports. I don't believe in it.
Right.
I don't
and
like
I'm
it.
Sure there are snaky people.
Yeah, I'm sure there are snaky people. And I'm sure that the blessing of the Jewish people. Now, we learned this in last week's Parsha. Those who bless you will be blessed. And when America starts to create the common culture of unblessing the Jews, but cursing the Jews for bringing the blessing, it's going to start to reverse. So what the Jews do is that the Jews like ghettoize themselves. The word ghetto is not such a bad word. It just means a protectorate. You know what I mean? It means a reservation of sorts. But definitely there's less sense of a total, like, you're like, what's that show called? The ground is lava. What's it called?
The floor is lava. That's what it's like.
It's like the floor is lava a little bit. And you got to find the island that you jump on. And you like the floor is lava in America right now. And there's
it's so funny because whenever I go to America and I go, like, I don't go underground. I don't even know how to go underground anymore. I go with like a giant headscarf. It's 98 degrees outside and I'm wearing long sleeves and a long skirt. Like, you could see me coming a mile away. And I have to say that while in my childhood growing up, I did encounter some, I would say, minor league anti-Semitism. Here and there, really right. Just here and there sporadically.
Right.
I do not encounter anti-Semitism, at least in the places that I go. I don't really feel it.
Right.
So there's like such a beautiful America, like a curious America.
Wonderful.
Who's like interested in other cultures, other peoples, and is respectful. And is, I mean, I don't know what they say about you on their couch and in their living room.
Well, remember a few weeks ago,
out in the stores and in the streets, it's
but
fine.
But that MAGA group, remember they went anti-Israel. Remember that in your.
Yes, the JNS poll in which I polled people about Kanye West's anti-Semitic remarks, and then it got put up on 4chan, which is like a dark web underground, you know, place for gross people, and it exploded, and then people came back onto Twitter to answer the poll that the against us. And put up all kinds of
Kanye West was right.
Kanye West and his anti-Semitic remarks were right. And so they put up all kinds of like pictures of Hitler and like pictures of like hook-nosed Jews and all these like super old school anti-Semitic images. And then I started to report them on Twitter. And then before I would do that, I would look into their accounts and I saw that a lot of these people were like MAGA people.
Right. I went to a MAGA wedding.
This is like, and I like MAGA people. Right. All my experiences with MAGA people have been positive.
Right.
On the personal level.
Right. I went to a MAGA wedding.
There are some
people
who do not feel that way.
I went to a MAGA wedding. And
yeah, you took a picture of a MAGA purse.
Yeah, I didn't put that one up. But people were like so nice to me. People were exactly just like curious and interested. But at the end, though, when they ask me about, I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to open up. When MAGA type folks ask me, they're like, "What is with the Jews? Why are they voting Democrat?"
Yeah.
I just tell them the truth.
Yeah.
I'm like, first thing is, my brothers and sisters are voting with my enemies. They are lined up with my enemies today. Mm-hmm. They're lined up with anti-Israel folks. That's number one. And number two is, this is where it comes from. And I give them the whole psychology of trying to be, trying to assimilate into a host body and mm-hmm. being afraid that it's too nationalist. I give him a whole explanation about Jewish psychology and their fear of nationalism and all that kind of stuff. And I tell them the big difference between us Israelis, who are sovereigns, as opposed to they, who are the, I mean this not negatively, I mean this literally, the court Jew. I don't mean court Jew like in a negative slur. I mean to say
they are being hosted. It is their country, but in a sense, it's not their country.
Right. It's in literature, in biblical literature, it's called Jew in the foreign court, just like Joseph.
Right, but that
like
has Mordecai. A very negative connotation today. This idea of court Jew.
Yeah, I don't mean that in any negative way. I just mean to say they are doing a different process of survival. Their process of survival. It's like different animals that have what do you call it?
Camouflage.
No, evolved into a different defensive strategy. You know,
right.
So theirs is to work within that system. So they want to keep the nationalistic fervor down because they think that if there's a foreign
that nationalism
host,
has been bad for them.
Right. They think
nationalism
so.
Is Germany.
Right. Except I so reject that because German. Nationalism was not nationalism. It was supremacism / colonialism and imperialism. It was not nationalism. Nationalism is when you're proud of your tribe and your peoplehood and you want to stay, you know, in its land. And generally speaking, nationalists can deal with other peoples who are loyal to their nation. Okay. The Germans, they weren't nationalists. There was an imperialist idea to grab land that of other people that. They weren't nationalists in the sense that they knew that this is their nation and this is their land. They're imperialists in the sense that they're like, we're the right nation.
And the proof is the murders. Meaning right. to say, like, you could have even imagined a scenario in which they had been like, okay, the Jews have to leave. This is now a German country and all the Jews have to get out. But they didn't do that.
At first they did, for
a minute.
Yeah.
And then the Jews who didn't leave there were stuck there and systematically hunted down.
Okay, let's pray for the future. Again, my takeaway is mm-hmm. work with the young people. Talk
well,
with the young
people. Well, here in Israel, Yishai, the young people are on a very different page, it seems.
100%. 100%. I think it's partially...
Because the young people here...
are trending right.
There were plenty of people who voted Yesh Atid, and there were plenty of people who voted Meretz, and there were people who voted for Avigdor Lieberman in the army. He got an extra couple of seats from the soldiers. One or two seats.
One.
Okay, yeah. One more seat. Well, you know, as things are shifting. So he got another seat from the soldiers, which means people that he's like an anti-religious party, but he's a right winger.
Right.
Or kind of a right winger. Anyway, the kids here in Israel, they had no problem voting for parties that in America would be perceived as conservative parties.
Right. No, there's no question that the young people in Israel are trending nationalist, trending right.
Right.
No question about it. No question about
it. And that's exciting.
It is exciting. But I would like us to have other people around the world that we have to share those feelings with.
Well, that was the hope in this last midterm election.
That's what I'm saying.
That, but I mean, it's not like a red wave, quote unquote. But that doesn't mean, I don't know what it will be by the time this show is being broadcast, but it doesn't mean that the Republicans and the right wing are not going to be in control of government. It just means they won't be in like huge control. But it could be that we will be sharing in that. And then you have in another 2 years, you have elections coming for the president of the United States. And hopefully this government now will be stable, which means we won't have elections for 4 more years, which means we could have 2 years of real awesome productivity.
I just wish that our young people had other young people around the world to feel that they're like looking in the same direction with. That's all I'm saying.
They got the Hungarians.
Yeah, the Swedes and the Italians. And almost the French, by the way. Almost. It almost happened. Because there's a special French system. That's why. Anyway, the point is there's a lot of French folks on the so-called nationalistic right. Okay, we'll discuss more about that.
I guess this will be. It's interesting that you mention it. And maybe it should be a goal of people who think about these issues to try and create more of an international community of young people.
I believe that.
That's the kind of globalism, not like globalism, but global thinking that you know, they're trying to impose globalism on us.
Right.
So maybe we could use at least that global movement momentum for our benefit a little bit, for our ideas.
There's globalism and there was like two ways of saying it. There's globalism. And anyway, the one is that the world is now connected, and one is the globalist leftist like conquest idea of like a one world government. So those are two different things. They should not be understood together. Not everybody thinks like this, but I know that some people disagree with me, but I actually think that nationalist movements have the following basics: a love of family, and a love of nation, a love of God and Bible, in an anti-jihad impulse. And those things, I do think, can be shared across nations. And I think that we do have a natural kinship with people on the nationalistic right in other countries. I think we could have a relationship.
That's overall, of course. Overall. There are some people who, in the nationalist camp throughout the world, who are not the kind of people we'd want to associate with.
Because there's anti-Semitism sometimes tied into that. 100%. 100%. I don't even like the word right or I like the idea. The word nationalist is not even a good word in America, but I think it's a good word. I think it should come back to be a good word. The bottom line is people who respect their tribal lands. Oh, another thing happened. I went to a store. I had to get the tux. I went to a store. This lady was helping me out. And her name was, I will not forget, Ashrat.
Ashrat. What kind of name is it? Egyptian?
Persian.
Huh.
She was an older Persian lady, and we hit it off immediately.
That's cool.
We hit it off immediately.
Jewish or not Jewish?
Not Jewish.
Okay. Iranian.
She was a Persian, and we were just peas in a pod. She was so helpful to me, and I said, I almost started crying.
Why?
When she was when she was telling me what's going on over there, and the young people that are being attacked in the streets over there, and I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. And if Israel only had like half a gut, we'd go. I mean, I'm sure we are in the underground.
That's not what
way.
Made me angry. My made yeah. me angry is this world that allows these people that are out there in the streets fighting this evil regime for freedom of an ancient peoples, and here's the world telling us that we don't do this, don't build a balcony, okay? And we don't want you to annex. Shut up. Go help the people who desperately need your assistance, global world. Where are you?
Yeah.
People are being crushed in the streets. And she showed me that there's an Iranian movement in Florida and other places to protest what's going on. Nobody gives a damn.
We should really learn more about that.
That's right. You know what? And I was like.
Did you get her phone number? Do you remember the store she met her in?
Yes.
So call the store.
I will.
It on Google.
Yes, I will.
Ask for her.
Yes, I shall. Yes, I shall do that because she was really cool.
Do you think she could talk on the radio?
Yeah. She's a great talker. She's a talker. and she showed me the Instagram. Instagram is big there. And she showed me these protests. And I was just like, I don't know. My whole heart felt.
Right.
I had that Jewish civil rights feeling. Right. You know what I mean? I had that. I was just like.
The yearning for justice.
I was like, I'm so angry about it. I'm so angry inside about it. Really. You know, when I met another cool person, I met this guy, and there's a picture of me and him, this guy named Joe with a last name that I don't remember right now, or it's on my Facebook. this Indian dude who was an American special force, American Indian.
Oh, yeah. Native American.
Native American. By the way, I am allowed to say American Indian because that's what they say.
They call themselves. They call themselves, and you're allowed to use that term as well?
They're fine American with that term. Indians, they have no problem with that term. Anyway, he's got a tattoo of his great-grandfather sitting Bull.
So cool.
From the Sioux, I think so. I don't want to make mistakes in this business, but anyway, whatever.
You're not a big expert on Native American history.
I'm not, but we...
You also grew up in the Northeast, which means you probably didn't learn a lot about Native American
no,
culture.
In the Northeast, we just have American
names. Because I grew up
names.
In North Texas, which means that we learned quite a bit about Native Americans because we were right by Oklahoma. That's huge Native American territory.
Right.
And we talked many times on this show about when we drove up to Chickasaw.
Yeah, Chickasaw. We met the Chickasaw. That was so cool. I'll never forget that. And I talked to him about that. But anyway, he told me, why am I telling you this? Because he told me about a hashtag. I started telling him, I'm like, we're also Native peoples yearning to get our land back. He's like, you are. And he's like, he showed me a hashtag called Land Back.
Ooh, hashtag using it.
I'm already using it. Hashtag land back. And that's the Native American like fight for their land. So I'm like using that. He's like, I'm like, is it okay if I use that? I wanna. Can
so you
I?
Got an
can
official
I appropriate
Huskama?
That? Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm also a Native people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also have rain songs. Don't make me sing it now.
Go ahead.
Shaftem mayim v'sason mi mayneya Yeshua. Shaftem mayim v'sason mi mayneya Yeshua. Hey.
We don't have feathers, but we have palm fronds.
I remember when we were with the American Indians, and I took out. They have these things on their belts. They have these like hanging things. I took out my tzitzit. I'm like, I got Native garb on me too. They're like, that's cool. Anyway, so I met all kinds of fun people out there, Maka. Maka, let's shift gears for a few minutes, if you allow me. I need you to partner with me for a little Torah talk, a little table talk.
It's a good parsha this week.
Oh boy! This is Parshat Vayera, book of Genesis. These are the stories.
This is the fun stuff, by the way. I know that Ishai likes to convince everybody that like all the stuff about the Mishkan and all that—that's like the really juicy part of the Torah. But I just want to say,
I never do that. What are you talking about?
No, you know, you.
I say that the book of Bamidbar. The politics of Bamidbar, of the Book of Numbers, is also awesome.
I just want to say, you know how everyone likes to find the like super unusual thing to like? I like the Book of Genesis, okay?
Yeah.
I like Bereshit. I like these stories. This is the juicy part. This is the part that like sit down with it, savor it. You know, this is the good stories.
Yeah. No, it's
so make sure you give yourself a few extra minutes, you know, to just enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can feel it coming, this Genesis, this story.
Yeah.
So we got chapter 18, book of Genesis, and Malka, we start, of course, with the angels coming to visit Avraham Avinu in Hebron and telling him that he's going to have a son. And this is a very visual thing. It's like these like three angels come to him and they are... They're telling them that they're going to have this child. Like, there's going to be this thing. Yes, there's this other child called Ishmael, but like, no, it's going to be through Isaac that you're going to continue the seed, and through Sarah.
I just want to say I find it very moving and interesting and curious that Abraham asks, that Ishmael should live before you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This might be the only time, it's the only time that I can remember that you see a father praying for his child in the whole Torah. Like actually talking to God and being like, please let it be good for my child.
I can't remember if there's another one. There might be, but okay.
And I wonder about that.
Well, God says to him, and I heard you about Ishmael. I hear your prayer and he will be blessed with 12 princesses that will come from him and he'll be an important nation. But
someone pointed out to me, by the way, that we have 12 tribes.
Yes.
And Ishmael, he doesn't have tribes exactly necessarily,
princesses.
But he has princes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not princesses. A princess is is like a Barbie.
Prince, how do you say it in plural?
Princes.
Princes. Okay.
A prince, multiple princes.
That's right. The famous scene of Sarah laughing.
Yes.
She somehow doubts and she laughs. And the name for the son, Yitzchak, which is he shall laugh. And let me tell you something. He who laughs lasts. Okay? And so that's the Yitzchak. It's like, we're gonna last. He's the last laugh. And this is not the Torah portion of Yitzchak. We'll learn more about Yitzchak later. This is the Torah portion of Avram. In many ways, this is the gift for Sarah. I saw a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says that when Sarah gets angry at Avram, the last Parsha, then one of the things she's angry about, she's like, you prayed for yourself to have a child, but you didn't pray for me to have your child.
Oh, snap.
And so this is, many ways, this is the blessing for Sarah.
Right.
And she laughs. And then we go right into, so that's like, that's the personal salvation for Abraham. And then instead of being like, thank you so much, he's like, well, but now I hear, like, thanks a lot, but now I hear that you want to destroy Sodom. And he argues for Sodom. He argues to save on their behalf. A few comments on this. Some people say, they ask the question, why did he argue on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah,
yep,
Sodom and Amorah, and not pray seemingly for Isaac's survival through the trial of the
Akedah?
Why didn't
interesting?
He...
No.
Here's my.
Oh, you're giving your own perspective. You don't have a rabbinical answer.
Here's the Yishai take. Okay,
go.
Abraham sees himself as God's PR agent in this world. One of his main tasks is, how do I make you, God, look good? I'm concerned with your appearance in this world. That's what I'm tasked with. How do I get you out? How do I get you out in the world right? How do I bill you properly?
Right.
And he's like, oh, this could be bad billing for you, okay? If you're just going to wipe out this city, like, can we mitigate the damage? Can we find a way to make it so that it's clear that you judge justly? And Abraham does his best, and he negotiates with God. But the negotiation is like, just instead of thinking of it as like a lawyer that he's arguing against God, he's more like, I am your agent. I want to make you look good. I understand that you're administering justice, but I want to make sure, how is this going to look? How's this going to be perceived? So maybe can we do it like this? Can we do it like this? Can we do it like this? Will you maybe save the city for 10? Because I want to bring you out as what you are, as a merciful God, not a destroying God. But God's like, look, it's got to be the way it's got to be. And the story of him trying to find that more merciful God is what that's about. And then we also learn that within Sodom and Gomorrah, there's this Lot. And Lot and his daughters, strangely, end up consorting with one another for the birth of Ammon and Moab. And that's a strange story, but in the end, that's the story of the birth of Mashiach. And that's something that sometimes Gentile readers do not see so clearly, but if you think about it, you'll know it. It's all about Ruth. It's all about Ruth coming through the Moabites. And in there, in this darkness of Lot, the lone survivor, him and his daughters of the destruction of Sodom and the evil of Sodom. I want to also comment about the evil of Sodom, what it really looked like. A lot of people don't know this, but one of the things that was so evil about Sodom is that actually they made everything look legal, and their evil was always in law. It was always like, you're not supposed to bring guests, and if you do, then we can attack them. Or you're not supposed to, you can give charity. But what would happen is that, this is the Midrash says, that they would give charity. So they would give charity. Everybody would write their name on the bills that they would give. And then when the poor person would try to hand that bill into a store, they'd be like, oh, I can't take that. I can't receive that. And basically the guy would die from hunger who received all this charity, and they would come back and take their bills.
Oh, my gosh.
But what's the point of that story? What's so absurd? Why not just say, no, I'm not giving you charity? Because they wanted to seem like, of course we're charitable. Mm. They needed to have a show of morality.
Right.
And it's not real morality, it's faux morality.
Well, speaking of real morality, our son was supposed to get off the bus and I don't see him yet. So I'm going to go check on him, but you keep rocking that Torah, Yishai.
Thanks, Mama. God bless you. Thank you very much. Malka Fleischer, Shabbat Shalom, and thank
Shabbat
you so much.
Shabbat Shalom. Oh, there he walked in the door.
There he is. He has arrived. You see, Malka? Thank you, Hashem. And
yes, thank you, Hashem, that you brought
Israel,
our son back,
who I haven't seen in a week. He's going crazy. He's going crazy. Shalom, Israel. All right, all right. Let me just say good. Let me just pause the
yes,
recording for just a second.
Taking a little pause.
Yeah, I'll take a. Oh, he went to the bathroom. So hold
okay.
on.
Yeah. Yeah, keep going. Yeah, you have another minute. Go.
Okay, Mom. So
I'm back. Okay, I don't have to go anywhere. Morality clear.
Yeah. The folks.
So you're giving that horrible charity example.
Yeah, and they also made contracts between marriage contracts between men and men, and also between men and animals. This happened also right. at the flood.
And this was considered abominable.
Right. They made.
I'm saying the morality of Torah does not stand with that.
No, it certainly does not. And yes. so, but it was one thing if you do something off to you know in your the privacy of your own home. But the legality of it, the
giving it public sanction,
right? Public sanction.
It's
and also,
one thing if a person has their weak spots or they have their yearnings, and every person, probably every person listening, and all the people in this house have, you know, ten like things that they want that maybe they think that Hashem doesn't necessarily want, or things that they do a little too much or a little too little, or things that they're always working on. So it's not like everyone's expected to be a perfect moral pillar of perfection. But when you create a society that is meant to honor and celebrate the very things that we are supposed to be trying to fix in ourselves, then that's not okay.
That's right. That's right. It's that's right. To couch immorality in morality in order to dress up as moral, it's like a double evil. You know what I'm saying? It's not just being evil. It's like
right. It's a gaslighting. It's like a total. Right. It's a total.
The Nazis
confusion.
Were like that also.
It's that's a total right. confusion that's of right. people instead right. that they don't know what's up and what's down anymore.
Right. I just looked down at my watch.
Yeah. That's a real nice watch you got there, Yishai.
It is a really nice watch. It is.
That might be one of the nicest watches you've ever had.
It's a 1970s Tissot, okay? And I got it. It's a Swiss watch, and I got it from RetroWatchGuy.com. RetroWatchGuy.com. And I am so proud of this awesome 70s watch.
It is honestly beautiful. And it's in beautiful shape also. Like, it looks like new. It's like a beautiful watch, and yet it's a vintage watch.
It's very 007 meets 770.
Yes.
Okay. It's very that.
Totally.
It's,
I feel like you could like a little bit land the space shuttle, but like the old school space shuttle where the whole computer would like took up many rooms.
I was thinking more like,
I believe this will be parking, our finest hour like I was that. Like,
I was thinking about parking my Aston Martin in Monaco and helping a guy put on tefillin before I went in to play cards with the guy with one eye or something.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I was
thinking more like, oh, we need our 4 amps like that.
that's not 007, Malka. That's Apollo.
No, but it
13.
Looks to me, I know that's 007, but that looks to me more like a Apollo 13 NASA like really smart guy watch.
Uh-huh. That's also cool.
You know, and they had Corvettes.
Yes.
Or whatever that car was.
Yes.
So they were cool.
They're definitely cool. I'm just really thankful, and I'm very excited for this RetroWatchGuy.com retro watch, and I urge you to check out our sponsor, RetroWatchGuy.com, and maybe you too can get yourself an awesome watch for Shabbat,
or for
your new son-in-law, or for Chagim, or just to have an awesome watch.
It's cool to
watch.
Give like new life to something that like already had a whole life.
Yeah, it's really you cool. I just love this watch. It's just me.
It is. It really suits you. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank
yeah.
you so much to Retro Watch Guy.
That's right. Very good. And congratulations. They do a great business. I also I've been eating American food for a week.
Yep.
Which is fine.
Yep.
Fine. And some of it was even more than fine.
Like
was even
what?
Good.
What'd you like?
Right at the tail end, I had some Chinese food, which was good. But
yeah, that's a weakness in Israel. What's the deal with Chinese food?
I really did have a good. I had the best thing I ate in America.
No,
for the whole week, my friend Ori took me out to something called the Carrot, which is this like this really good health food.
Oh yeah,
like food that they give to you, and there was this tuna bowl with like ginger and quinoa, which I stupidly called quinoa, which is what we call
that's
it here
what
in Israel.
That's what it's called in Israel. Why did
and
they laugh at you?
No, they were just quinoa? Like, okay, beseder, no problem. And and the point is that it was just it was good food. But I missed home food. I missed malka food.
Yes.
I know you're making chicken soup tonight.
I got
tonight.
A chicken soup going down.
But if I didn't have malka food, then the next thing would be Chaim's food.
Yes.
Okay? At Prohibition Pickle. Prohibitionpickle.co.io.
So good.
I'm salivating because I am hungry. I have not eaten some home food. And Prohibition Pickle has got some great food. In fact, somebody just asked me, what can I get this other guy? Yeah. He wants to give another guy a present for Shabbat.
That's so sweet.
I sent him Chaim's number.
Yes, that's the way to go.
And he's going to cater like a gift. That's a great
so
way.
Yeah. Nice. And Chaim will do it with incredible panache and love. He does everything really nicely.
With, and with style and with the hearty kosherness.
Yeah. And with generosity.
That's right. So there you go. Prohibitionpickle.co.il. Another one of our great sponsors. And also, we're reading the Bible. The Bible's good.
It is
the good word, okay? And therefore,
it is a good book, if you
will. It is the good book from the good land, from the good Lord. It is good, for he saw that it was good. And I, one of the goodest of the good books is the Israel Bible.
Yes.
The IsraelBible.com.
One of the goodest of the good books.
One of the goodest versions of the good book is the Israel Bible. And the Israel Bible... has great commentary, great translation, great transliteration. I highly recommend it. If you go to the IsraelBible.com, put in coupon code Yishai, bang, 10% off.
Bang.
And that's awesome. And I also recommend it to my non-Jewish friends. It will not have the Christian text in it, in it, but you'll have an authentic Jewish version.
And you want that.
And the cover itself has the six-day war on it and stuff, and you're going to be like,
yeah,
you're going to walk past that and salute. By the way, thank you to the folks at like WhatsApp for creating a new emoji of the salute emoji.
Yes, I like that one.
Big fan of the salute
emoji.
I've been waiting for that. It's a good salute emoji. Okay, Mom, and we also got, Malka, we got JewishPress.com putting out a show every day, every week, and also putting out the great everyday email called Jewish Express.
Right. They did a lot of great election coverage.
They're really fast on the info. Like, if this stuff happening, they know about it. JewishPress.com. And also our friends at JNS.org, where you also work as an editor.
Right.
And a social media guru, which you are so guru-ish. You're really very guru-ish, Malka. And then what else did I want to say? Who else? Of course, Malka, underneath it all is the Land of Israel Network, thelandofisrael.com, that is the host of our show. And YishaiFleisher.com is the host of our show. Yocheved Seidman, Moshe Herman, Ben Bresky, Tabitha, and Lou, when we're live, help get the show out to the world. And I want to, like the most important of them all for me is to mention the Hebron Fund.
Yes.
And I want to say that as you're hearing this show this week, it's going to be Parshat Vayera.
Yeah.
But next week
is the big one.
It's the big one. Chai Sara. Like, everybody's got to like flip out and go Chevron, because Chai Sara is the Torah portion where thousands of people, tens of thousands, are converging on Chevron, because we're going to read together. We're going to read together the Torah portion of the purchase of the Tomb of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs in Hebron, that first purchase of the Jewish people in the Land of Israel. So connect to Hebron. It's like, really, like.
Well, what can people do, Yishai, if they're not going to be even, like, certainly not in Hebron or not even in the Land of Israel? How can they connect to Hebron? What are some ways that they can connect next week to Chai Sara?
I want to say first thing that I'm now looking for to partner with a sister city or a big synagogue. Okay, I'm saying right now, I'm looking for a sister city or a big synagogue. That's number one. I have an idea.
Okay.
And two is that I want everybody just to print a picture of Marat Machpelah and put it on your house somewhere. And if you don't have one, if you can't find one, write me an email, yishai@yishaifleisher.com. I will send you a link to a few beautiful pictures of the Marat HaMachpelah, of the Tomb of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs. So that's coming right up. So HebronFund.org is the hub of all our pro-Hebron activities. Please be part of it. The Torah portion begins with Elonei Mamre, which is where Abraham got received the message of Isaac, of Jewish continuity, in Hebron. That's the field. That's the field, okay?
I just want to say I have another couple of ideas that how people can connect also.
Hebron, we also have a wine.
Yes.
Which you could get at Sarah's Tent and other places, which is called Hebron Heights Winery. And they have the famous Machpelah wine.
Machpelah is a very famous wine.
Everybody should get that for next week.
I just want to say that this sounds obvious, but just read the part where he acquires the feel.
Chapter 23.
Just read it, but not just read it to yourself. Like, read it at the table, like to whoever's there during dessert or something. Like, sit down and just read it out and say L'chaim. Another recommendation I have is to make your own challah next week. Mm-hmm. Make your own challah, which, take it from me, is a deal. Like, I get it. You might be buying your challah, but make your challah. Make a challah, because that's one of the things that Sarah is known for. She's known for the candles, which last all week. And she's known for the cloud of glory that rested over her tent. And she's known for the bread that had a blessing inside of it. It could be, you know, they have those big, long candles.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The big ones that are for like a yard site for like a week.
Yep.
So that's another thing you can consider doing before Shabbos. Light that candle.
Mm-hmm.
And then let that candle burn for 7 days, or for however long it's going to end up burning. But let it burn as like the blessing that lasted in the candles.
Very good, Malka. Very good. And it is in this week's Torah portion that we also hear that Isaac is born. And Isaac is, people didn't believe that Isaac was really Sarah's baby.
Because she was so old.
She was so old. They brought all their babies to the party. They all started crying and they forgot their wet nurses, and they couldn't nurse them. So Sarah, bang.
Nursed 100
babies. She took care of the whole babies, and all the babies were like, you know, when they're over milked, they're like, and she just laid them out. She just knocked them out with her Hebrew milk. So that's also a metaphor for, by the way, teaching the nations, I think. Finally, Malka, the Torah portion ends with the Akedah, the binding. And I just want to say that the Medrash tells us that Sarah passed away when she heard about the binding. When she heard that Abraham had taken Isaac up to be bound at the binding and to sacrifice him to God.
I have a very hard time with this.
Wait, that's exactly why I'm saying. But there's another version of that, which she didn't die then. She died when she heard that he was spared.
Yeah, but doesn't it say that Avraham was in Beersheba?
Yeah.
So they went all the way from Yerushalayim. They passed Hebron. They went to Beersheba. Then Sarah dies in Hebron. She's not in Beersheba.
That's actually not exactly clear. We don't know that. Maybe she died in Beersheba and he brought her to Hebron. I'm not sure about that. That's totally doable, as we know that sometimes people are transported. In any case, let's not get stuck in that question right now, Malka. Let's really celebrate. This Torah portion is about one thing. It's about two things. Covenant, the covenant of the Brit Milah, of the circumcision, and therefore it's about covenant, especially in that part, is the covenant of Jewish peoplehood and the continuity of Jewish peoplehood. That's what this Torah portion is about. And basically, Abraham needed a physical fixing. He needed a circumcision,
right?
A perfecting, and Sarah needed a miracle and a perfection, because supposedly she wasn't really able to have children. Something happened in their bodies, something happened to their names, and they became the princess and prince of God, and they gave birth to Isaac, and Isaac symbolizes Jewish continuity. That's why this Torah portion is so important. It symbolizes really Jewish, the continuation of the Jewish story. And I want to bless everybody out there to be part of the continuation of the Jewish story. Whether you're Jewish, then you better do your job, or whether you're part of the international Torah community, which loves Israel and is part of the blessing of Israel, because that's what God tells us in these Torah portions as well. Those who bless Israel are blessed. And that's part of the job. Our job is to make God's name known, and your job out there is to bless the Jewish people making God's name known. We're a team of bringing God's light into this world. We're on a team. And this is such a moment of great light and great, unbelievable forces of darkness arraigned against us. And so therefore, and if you go down deeper, you'll see how many ghouls and destructive forces are out there. Haters, murderers, liars, and every kind of gross evil out there. And we have to be out here lighting the light. It's us, the Jewish people, and the lovers of Israel, and those who want to be the blessers of Israel. That's what it's about right now. So let us bless together, and let's let that blessing come back out into the world. That's the opportunity of our time. Malka Fleischer, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show. I also want to recommend people write me an email, yishai@yishaifleischer.com. And also go to buymeacoffee.com/Yishai if you support the show. It was so much gratitude, and it helps us keep pushing it out there to the world. And if you want to help the big projects, check out yishaifleischer.com/donate. And that's where we have all of our shows and all of our issues. Of course, everybody was talking to me about the elections, and I continue to talk to people about what's going on and the, you know, the wave of Jewish strength that we want to have here in our land. We're damn tired. That's another thing, by the way. I was in the mikveh. I was in the, there's a Breslov. Yeah.
You mean the Atlantic Ocean?
No. I was in the mikveh at the Breslov Synagogue in Aventura. And the guy said to me, wow, you guys really, you know, elected a nationalist right-wing folks in Israel. Yeah. I'm like, we are damn tired. Out of nowhere, like an anger came out of me. I'm like, we're tired of being attacked. We're tired of living in fear. We want to, we're tired of not really pushing out our Judaism and our Jewish state. We're tired of those, of that fight. In any case, Malka, I know it's time to go. Our beloved Israel's got to go to Taekwondo. And it's good to be back home. I want to thank you. I'm looking forward to the chicken soup. And I want to thank everybody out there for being a part of my life, and all kinds of people. By the way, I walked into a Target, okay? And as I say, in America, you go to a Target. In Israel, you are a Target, right?
Aww.
But I walked into a Target, and a lady's like, oh, my God. I'm like, how are you? She's like, I follow you. And she goes, I am a Gentile. I'm a lover of Israel. Aww. And she, you know what she does? She's like a... what do you call it? Care for people that are older and stuff
caretaker?
Like that. She's a caretaker. And she's like, I only work with Jews. And she said to me, and she was standing right next to, and I'll give everybody a big tip here. For all those of you living outside the land, if you go to Target, they have Hanukkah pillows, okay? And I bought some, okay, for Hanukkah. So I just want you to know that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's, I was channeling your mom.
Thank
okay?
you. I didn't, shalom.
That's right. So. The point is that Malka, when I come back, I always know there's people out there, they're listening, they're connected, they want more, push it out, pump it out, give light out to the world. That's what people want today. They don't want the darkness. And I have to give credit to my, to the Christian folks for a second. I saw a sign that I thought was so brilliant. It said the name of the Christian God. I call it Uncle Jay, right?
Yeah.
It said Uncle Jay was also fed up with politics.
Nah.
I was like, that's so right, you know? And I thought to myself, like Hashem, you know, like it's past the politics. People want light. People right. want some truth. People want something to lean on. People want to bring holiness into the world. Their souls are tired of the dirt.
Right. And so that is the truth.
Yeah. And so that I thought that sign was smart. And therefore I say, like, let us say that also, which is like, let's bring out light into the world because we're fed up with the politics. We want a little bit of beauty in this world.
We can all do it.
Malka Fleischer, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back, Yishai. We're so glad that you're back. And we're so glad that you went. That's the truth, because we love your trips and you always meet the most amazing people and you come back with amazing stories. And you also do amazing work connecting people to the land of Israel, to the Jewish people, to the Torah, and to each other. So we're glad that you went, but we're very, very glad that you're back. And we're looking forward to a nice rainy winter and good times ahead.
Good winter. God bless. More great stuff is on the way. Shabbat Shalom. Stay tuned. Stay strong. Stay connected. Be part of it wherever you are. Lots of love and lots of blessings and only strength, because it's a time to fill this world with light. And you are part of that great story. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.